Perhaps like me, you watched the inauguration of President Joe Biden on Wednesday. I found it a very moving occasion. Biden's hour had finally come, and it took only a few short seconds for him to be sworn in and to effect the transition from one presidency to another. A new order, pray God, a better one than the last. Biden spoke of bringing his people together under God to fight all the evils of our day and to effect a transformation for all his people. Our two readings this morning touch on that theme of a transformative new order. Let me start with that strange little reading about Melchizedek bringing bread and wine to share with Abraham and then to bless him. Who is this Melchizedek? He makes only a very fleeting appearance in the Hebrew scriptures, yet he's of no little significance to our understanding of Jesus' role. We're told that he is the king of Salem, priest of God Most High. And he is, in fact, the first person in the Bible to be called a priest. He's significant because Abraham pays him homage. He gives him a tenth of the plunder that he's just taken in battle. Also, the Bible provides no genealogy for Melchizedek, no beginning, no ending of his days. And in the Hebrew mind, that means he remains a priest forever. Okay, so what, you might ask? In the New Testament, in the letter to the Hebrews, it's argued that if even the patriarch Abraham pays homage to Melchizedek, then Melchizedek's priesthood is greater than the priesthood in the temple in Jerusalem. That priesthood required endless sacrifices, generation after generation of priests. And it was only a shadow of what was to come. Much better is a priesthood that does not require endless sacrifices and does not pass away. The risen Christ, ascended and glorified, is that priest, high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, with no beginning, no ending of his days, priest of a new covenant, requiring one single once for all sacrifice, with the power to transform, to bring together God and sinful humanity. The meal that Abraham and Melchizedek share has the hint of a treaty about it, and it resonates with our own covenant meal of bread and wine, which is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet that Jesus promises. Mysterious Melchizedek stands for a presence that we can only glimpse and not fully understand. And he reminds us that our knowledge of things seen and unseen is partial. We see through a glass darkly. The wedding at Cana is a moment of greater clarity. On the surface, Jesus performs a miracle to save family embarrassment. Nobody wants their wedding breakfast to be remembered for all the wrong reasons. So good on Jesus for turning water into wine and saving a couple's blushes. But there is another layer of meaning here. because we are being invited to ask the question, what hour is Jesus talking about when he says, my hour has not yet come? Surely this is his death for us on the cross, which we will remember today in bread and wine. Cana in Galilee tells us more than that Jesus was just a miracle worker. It tells us something about his ministry, about his purpose in coming, his role among us. It's a sign, the first of seven in John's Gospel, that reveal his true identity. This is an epiphany moment. Now, it's the abundance of wine that is most striking to me. Let's do the maths. 6 stone water jars, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Well, let's say 25 gallons each on average. 6 jars, that's 150 gallons, or 680 litres. Now, in my reckoning, that's about 900 of our standard size wine bottles. 900. That's enough for any party, isn't it? Indeed, it's more than enough. It's a superabundance of wine. You see, there's nothing meagre or miserly, tight-fisted or penny-pinching about God's provision for us in Jesus. His grace abounds. And we should see our own lives, our own jars, as brimming over with God's goodness towards us. And it wasn't just any old wine, as the steward noted. It was the best quality. Jesus has worked an amazing change. Still water into sparkling wine. A new creation. And he longs to do the same in us, to transform us more and more into his likeness, that our lives can be lived to the full. 2 chapters on in John's Gospel, Jesus promises the woman at the well, the water I give will become in you a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Still water springing up with life, life of such quality it can never end. Once we're connected with the living Lord, how can we not live forever? Now, I'm sure that we're all looking forward with great eagerness to the arrival of Jeremy and Alison True, as Jeremy takes on the role of team rector here in March. It will be the beginning of an exciting new chapter in the life of our parishes and deanery. And no doubt it will be a challenge. So let us pray for them and for our churches in the days ahead, that rooted and grounded in God's love, with Christ at our head, we can grow stronger as a transformative and loving presence in Saffron Walden. On Wednesday, Joe Biden said, the American story depends not on any one of us, not on some of us, but on all of us. So it is here too. It will take all of us to play our part in order for us to become more and more what Jesus calls us to be. Salt and light, leaven in the lump, a transformative life-giving community. But this time, may God give us a superabundance of his grace as we seek to answer that call. Amen.